It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All right, welcome to Sports Central. Hopefully everybody is having themselves a great day. We got a nice one out there, 81 degrees today. A little bit of heat out there today. A little warmed up from earlier this week. It was a little chillier, but we got some nicer weather today. But hopefully you're indoors listening to the show. My name is Nathan. Hopefully everybody, like I mentioned, is having a great day. It's a beautiful day outside. It is the 19th night of December.
Or gee, nice. I'm
December, September. Jeez, I can't.
You tried. A nice segue
I tried. I just completely butchered it.
Let's go back 6 seconds in time. Do it again.
It's a perfect 19th night of September. There we go. We were talking about September, the song by Earth, Wind, Fire, and I was saying how I played it at one of my music trivias, and like half the people missed it. I was like, no way people are going to miss September. I mean, this is iconic song. I get it. Maybe you don't know Earth, Wind, Fire was a little group. While they did have some big hits, I guess they aren't the biggest group of all time from the 70s, but I would have thought people would know at least September, right, Corey?
Well, we were lamenting that we're not going to be on the air on the 21st
yes,
of
Saturday.
September.
Saturday.
That's Saturday. So, but yeah, I mean, you're talking about, I'm out like 3 seconds away from playing it here, so give me 1 second. This is great stuff.
It has to be one of the most iconic songs of all time.
Especially the first line.
Yes. Such a good song. That beat coming up to it. Or... Do you remember
when it first died, September? I would like to read the history of how they came up with that night, because how artists come up with very, very specifically. Why isn't the 18th night of September?
I don't know.
Why isn't the 23rd night of September?
What happened in December of 1963 with Frankie Valli, I think, sang that song?
There had to have been something in that guy's life. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, of course. Well, if it's a significant enough date, you're going to mention it in a song.
Exactly. So. And I don't know. I don't know that there's anything significant. I'll give you, for instance, like Journey's signature song is Don't Stop Believing, of course. Born and Raised in South Detroit is a gigantic mistake. There is no South Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
They have been criticized for that for literally 40 years, and yet it's still an iconic song. So you wonder like how people come up with lyrics sometimes. Like,
I don't know if there's a reason or rhyme. I'm like looking, I can't find anything.
I know, I don't see anything. I don't see anything on the 21st. So, you know, these Earth, Wind, and Fire guys.
Well, it says maybe the autumnal equinox, so the first day of fall.
Yeah.
So that might be the only.
But in the song, and I'd have to really study lyrics, in the song, is there While Chasing the Clouds Away? I mean, maybe they're talking about, you know, the end of September or the end of summer?
Well, in 1780, Benedict Arnold commits treason against America.
So maybe
that's what they're referencing 200 years later. I think the song came out in 76. So, what, 196 years?
I love that our minds were in the same place, because today's the 19th of September, and I told Nathan, too bad we're not going to be. But we got to enjoy the 21st night of September.
We will get to enjoy the 21st night of September with some college football. I think Tennessee and Oklahoma are on 7:30 at night on the night of the 21st. Also got Penn State against Kent State, which we were talking about a lot Tuesday. It'll be interesting if they cover the spread. They should, but
does it bother? Are you going to that game?
No, no chance. I'm not. Well, I shouldn't say no chance. I'm assuming I'm not going to go.
Nathan's going to be in charge today. 946-0435. You got any questions? Aim him and him. We got some good football discussions. But this 3:30 kickoff against Kent State
should never happen.
What the hell? Like, why? Why is that a 3:30 game? Would that bother you if you're going?
Yeah, because you're smack dab in the middle of your day. At least if it's a 12 o'clock kick, you might be home by 5, so you got the rest of the night to enjoy. 3:30, you're going to be home at 7:30, 8 o'clock at the earliest. So, I mean, I don't like the kickoff time. I think it's terrible. It should be a 12 o'clock kick. I mean, we're going to have Ohio State at 12 o'clock. Why are we not having Kent State at Ohio? I get it. It's all with the television and what they want to do.
Yeah.
They post the time. Just like Illinois' night game, I now see, I think, right? 7 or 7:30. That's going to be interesting. I'm glad it's a night game because I think Illinois is a good team. We'll talk about them in a bit. When we get to our predictions, we'll...
Oh, that's right. We got to do predictions today. Nathan's got a big lead. I blew my chance to catch up.
Yeah, we'll discuss predictions in about half an hour, so we should be good.
We got to have more time for predictions this week. We're always rushing.
Well, last week we had some good analysis. We'll try to get some analysis on these picks because it is interesting talking about them. Of course, NFL tonight, Jets, Patriots should be a fun one. Probably not. I'm not going to lie. But, today's discussion, we got some Hall of Famers. Are they Hall of Famers or not? I'm going to go over some NFL players here in a few minutes. We're going to talk if they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Corey texted me saying, hey, listen, I teased this Ben Roethlisberger thing earlier today. I'm curious. First off, Corey, do you think – I guess I was going to save him for last, but we'll just start him off.
Let's start with Ben. Here's what Michael Vick said yesterday. Here's what Dog Murderer had to say about Ben Roethlisberger.
You spent your last season with Coach Tomlin. What does he get? Take me in his head. What does he value most in a quarterback?
What he values most is confidence in a quarterback. I think Mike Tomlin and Bill's relationship, just watching it from afar, it was more so about trusting Ben, that Ben was more than capable of doing everything that the team needed on offense to be successful. And, you know, he gave him free rein. And that's because Ben was a great quarterback. Ben was exceptional. Like, to me, first ballot Hall of Famer all day. I mean, I witnessed it. I heard it.
That's the interesting part. First ballot Hall of Famer. 100%
first ballot.
You think for 100%? He's definitely 100% Hall of Famer to me.
Yeah.
There's no question. And he won two Super Bowls, one of which he played terrible in because they had a great team around him.
So, in my opinion, I think Ben, all by his side, I think he's... You can make the argument for top 10. I'd say probably top 15, top 20 quarterback of all time. I think that's a fair place to put him. And that gets you in the Hall automatically. It should get you a first ballot Hall of Fame if you're a top 15 quarterback of all time, in my opinion. So looking at his accolades, 64,000 yards he threw for, 418 touchdowns, 211 interceptions. So the turnover to touchdown ratio, it is basically 2-1, so maybe not particularly incredible, but that's how Ben played. I mean, we don't penalize Brett Favre for being a gunslinger. Six-time Pro Bowler, two-time Super Bowl champ, Offensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, in my opinion, I think he is deserving of a first ballot nod. I think he will get it. I mean, he was, if you're talking about Ben from like 2004 to probably 2018-ish, I mean, that guy was a top five quarterback most years. So I'd say Ben's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think, you know, that draft class, he's probably the best one out of those three guys, Rivers, Eli Manning, and himself. I'd probably pick him over everybody. Bias aside, I think he is the best quarterback out of that. He showed that. I think Ben's a pretty good quarterback overall. I don't think he gets the respect he deserves, but I'd say first ballot Hall of Famer for sure.
I can't say for sure.
Okay.
Ever since I heard this yesterday, I've gone kind of back and forth. There's absolutely no question in my mind he is a Hall of Famer, because there are still some people out there that would kind of even question that. But the first ballot thing... This is where some of my baseball background interferes with football analysis for me, okay. And I will flat admit this, because I'm very much a stats guy. Because I grew up, my whole career was spent covering baseball. And baseball, you don't make the Hall of Fame unless you got stats. You can make the Basketball Hall of Fame on
Everybody
intangibles.
Makes Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you can make the Football Hall of Fame on intangibles. So here's what I'm talking about. Ben led the league in passing twice. He had 49-52 once, 51-29 once. He led the league in completions one that year, the 51-29. He led the league in touchdown percentage once. And he never led the league in really any other yards per game. He did lead the league in three times. So there are numbers there. He's got some numbers there. I think he's got two 500-yard passing games. If I'm not mistaken,
he might be the only
guy that has two.
Yeah, there was times where he was.
I think he's the only guy that has two, five. So, yeah, and the two Super Bowls. Again, I have no qualms whatsoever saying he's a Hall of Famer. I found this. Okay, so this is players eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2027. And this is a thing called Future Football Legends. And they give scores. Players are ranked according to their Legends score, which is a simple measure of players' individual career accolades. All right, I don't know who the hell these people are. I don't know how they calculate their stuff. But their number one player for 2027 is Adrian Peterson.
That's fair.
Legend score of 57. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Can we agree on that?
100%. I believe that is the case. You don't?
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, okay.
Here is their number two guy for the Legends score. Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Antonio Brown.
I was going to bring him up later. Antonio Brown, in my opinion, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
He is a Hall of Famer. There is no question about it that Antonio Brown was a phenomenal top handful of wide. Now, he only played 9 years, but he led the league in catches twice, 129, 136. Total catches was 928. That's a number we were talking about the other guy earlier.
Yeah, we'll
was
get
920.
To
we'll get to him a bit. Touchdowns, 83. But they've, you know, Antonio Brown, if he wasn't just such a gigantic idiot, probably could have had a whole bunch more numbers. But here are the players listed in order.
Okay.
For Adrian Peterson, 57 points. Antonio Brown, 42 points. Richard Sherman, 38 points. He is definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. He was the best cornerback in the league for about 5 years.
5 years?
I'd say won like, a Super Bowl. Should
I'd
have won
say probably
another.
About 2 years, 14 and 15.
Right, number four on here is Rob Gronkowski.
Okay, yeah, first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Then
for sure.
Eric Weddle. Alex,
I don't know about first ballot. Or him, yeah. He's a Hall of Famer, though, in my opinion.
Alex Mack, 27 points.
Alex Mack's a good center.
Le'Veon Bell, 19 points.
Not a Hall of Famer.
And again, I can't justify where the hell they're going with these
numbers.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's not your list. It's someone else's.
Gerald McCoy, 17 points. Okay. Cam Newton, 17 points. Andrew Whitworth, 17 points. Ben Roethlisberger, 16 points.
Okay, first of
see
all,
what I'm getting at?
Yeah, that's, a little strange.
That's insane to me.
In my opinion, two of the top five players on the list are Andrew Whitworth and Ben Roethlisberger, and they're the lowest.
Yeah, and so who the hell knows who the hell knows how this was just one thing I came upon. I was looking for some numbers, and it's hard to look. Ben's gonna get in,
mm-hmm.
But he's definitely not behind Le'Veon Bell. That's insane. But does Ben get in over Antonio Brown? Does being a gigantic idiot that everybody hates, does that hurt Antonio Brown? I think it does.
I think it hurts him. I think he's gonna
first ballot. I mean,
I don't think he's gonna be a first ballot Hall of Famer just because of all that stuff. I mean, I don't think they're going to let him speak, if I'm being completely honest, at the Hall of Fame speech. There's a good chance they're not going to let him speak because you don't – or they're going to
– they let him in, but don't let him talk.
Do not let – first of all, if you're not following Antonio Brown on Twitter, give yourself a little follow over there. It's the best read you're going to find all day. It's crazy. But anyways, yeah, Ben, in my opinion, out of that list, if you want to tell me that Adrian Peterson should be above him
– yeah.
Adrian Peterson was a dominant force for about 3-4 years.
I think Gronk is above him.
Gronk's above him. Because Gronk, you can make the argument, is the greatest tight end of all time.
Well, I think it's probably a Tony Gonzalez kind of guy. But Gronk is in that discussion, at least.
This is your stat things where the stats
yes,
for...
Yes, correct.
I think
exactly
Gronk is
right.
a much more dominant tight
yeah,
end than
I
Tony Gonzalez.
I think Gronk could dominate a game, and especially the way he was utilized by Tom Brady.
Absolutely. So... That list, again, we don't know how they're judging stuff off of. To put Le'Veon Bell, in my opinion, not even going to sniff the Hall of Fame. I think Le'Veon Bell,
yeah, right.
Like, he's in the Hall of Mid. He's not even in the Hall of Good.
He's in the Hall of Andrew. No, he's not even Andrew McCutcheon. I can't say Andrew McCutcheon.
Yeah, I mean, he only had really good 3 years stretch where he was really dominant. Then besides, I mean, you can make the same case about Adrian Peterson, but Adrian Peterson also was good for 7 or 8 years outside of that 3-4 year stretch. So
we're definitely in agreement on Ben getting in the Hall of Fame.
It was a first ballot.
I wonder about the first ballot because I just mentioned the players. They always have owners or whatever. You know, Robert Kraft's not in the Hall of Fame. The Patriots owner. ESPN had a story on him last week of why he's not in the Hall of Fame or whatever.
Because it's off the field issues.
I guess
That's
I didn't
I
read
thinking.
The whole thing, but. I mean, you know, the guy's got to be in the Hall of Fame. He's the owner of six Super Bowl championships.
Yeah, he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
But Ben, you have a good list of players.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna take a break in a second and get to it. But before we do that, I want to ask you about Eli.
Okay, good, because he was on the list.
Yeah, Eli is really one of the most fascinating
people. I'm pulling up
his
stats right now. So Eli, right off the gate, obviously two Super Bowls over the Patriots dynasty, which I think. In my opinion, those are probably some of the best. I think 2007 is the best Super Bowl win of all time because you beat that dominant team.
If the Patriots win that game, I want to say they were 10 to 12 point favorites. If they win that game, that's the greatest team in American sports history because everybody looks at the 72 Dolphins going undefeated. I don't know what the hell football was like in 1972.
Yeah.
The Patriots set all kinds of scoring records. Randy Moss was on that team. Tom Brady was having a tremendous year. If that team goes undefeated, even if we have an NFL team setting all these records goes undefeated, I would think that that would be considered the greatest single-season sports team in American history. And Eli denied them that.
100%.
David Tyree denied them that with the helmet catch.
Exactly.
But I mean, he's got to get credit. He put the ball there. And then obviously the Mario Manningham in the other one
incredible
to win the Super Bowl.
Catch.
So, you know, is he a Hall of Famer, though? That's where the statistics really come into play.
So here is his quarterback record is 117-117, yep. 500 quarterback. Completion percentage at 60%, slightly over 57,000 yards. 366 touchdowns to 244 interceptions. Four-time Pro Bowler, two-time Super Bowl champion. He's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer because I don't think he was maybe as dominant as a Ben Roethlisberger, where Ben Roethlisberger felt like, I don't want to say Eli Manning couldn't win you a game, but it felt like Ben Roethlisberger most of the times was an above-average quarterback. I mean, towards the tail end of his career, I guess you make that same argument with Ben, but really for the last, since that Super Bowl win, Eli kind of fell off a cliff where he just kind of maybe wasn't as dominant. I know those Giants teams weren't incredible. Obviously, he got Odell in 2014. That helped a little bit. But Eli Manning, to me, definitely a Hall of Famer. First ballot, I don't know. He'll probably get in 3, 4, 5 years after his first appearance on the ballot. He's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, though. I will say he's a Hall of Famer just because the Super Bowl wins. If he didn't win a Super Bowl, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. He is a Hall of Famer because he won two Super Bowls in New York. The rest of he was not a Hall of Fame player. I do not believe that. Giants fans, a lot of Giants fans really loathe Eli. He also had the streak where he played a ton of consecutive games or whatever, and I can't remember exactly how many it was, or starts or whatever. He will go in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but something else that obviously helps him is his name and the Manning cast. He's the opposite of Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is a complete moron. Eli is becoming a beloved person. And
it gets you traction. It does get you traction.
It does. The whole Manning cast thing. And I joked with Chad Powers last year that, you know, that was brilliant. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do believe to some degree, not that this is some incredibly calculated thing, but I do believe in some degree Eli's has had PR people around him shaping his post-football image to help his Hall of Fame odds. Now, I don't think that this is the most important thing going on, but I think there was a plan for Eli with the Manning cast to be a down-to-earth kind of guy. He's very funny guy.
He is.
I think that there has been some kind of plan in place to ingratiate him with America because America did not fully love him as a football player.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he hit right in the head. I do think that his post-career is going to help him in his candidacy for the Hall of Fame. The Manning is also really going to help. He's a Hall of Famer, just borderline. Like he's a guy who's gonna sneak in simply because of the Super Bowls. I don't think there's anything
second
else.
Second time, third time, fourth time.
I'm guessing like fourth or fifth time.
You think it takes that long? Yeah,
because he is not. Because if it's gonna be him or Ben, they're gonna put Ben in over him, in my opinion. Although they won't be eligible on the same ballot because
Eli's 25 and Ben's 27.
Yeah. Ben's 27? I thought he was
26. 2027 is what I saw on here, yeah.
I guess he retired in 21, so yeah.
Yeah, first time eligible for in 2027. So that's interesting. Eli or Ben goes in first. This is a very simple question to me. If you're starting your team, who are you taking, Eli or Ben?
I would take Ben.
I would take Ben 1,000 times over. I think Eli threw a few awesome passes. And, but Ben, you know, I've always been a big Ben guy when it comes to his ability to run, his ability to play under any kind of offense. I don't think Tom Brady has the career he has if he plays behind that Steelers offensive line for Ben's career.
Yeah.
Tom Brady would have gotten hurt. But I think you could have put Ben up in New England.
Yeah.
And no matter what offensive line they had, Ben would have played.
Yeah, 100%.
Ben would have been a star. We got a phone call. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Corey, it's Jim from Altoona.
What's going on?
Hey, great talk you guys are having. Do you think what has happened in Roethlisberger's early career affects the Hall of Fame? And the reason I ask is I feel like even though he got over that hump, it kind of stuck with him, and it felt like nobody, even Steelers fans, really liked Ben the person.
Yes.
Like, Steelers fans could separate it, and they could root for Ben the player, but I don't feel like anybody really enjoyed Ben the person. And I do think when you're talking Hall of Fame, things like that matter.
Let me say this. This is a great question. I was actually about to bring that up right before you called because we were talking about Eli Manning's post-playing career and everything he's done to ingratiate himself. I feel like the second part of Ben's career was all done with this PR image in place. We heard all this. Ben's a family man now. Mm-hmm. He's married. He's got kids. He's matured. He also, in my opinion, because there were no charges filed, in my opinion, he did some really bad things to women. Mm-hmm. And even though there were no charges, there was probably money being paid off to prevent this kind of some suits, in my opinion. Okay, so I was always uneasy, Nathan, with his hagiography of Ben Roethlisberger at the end of his career, celebrating all of these things. Because, yes, he was great. I joked at the time. My son had a Ben Roethlisberger jersey when he was like 5 years old. He had a Steelers number 7 jersey. I didn't, and then the more I thought about it, I didn't like him wearing it, to be honest with you. Because I think Ben was really a gigantic scumbag for a long, long time. Will that impact his Hall of Fame? I don't necessarily think so, because he ended up playing 12 more years or whatever after all that stuff. What do you think, Nathan?
So I think when in his younger years, he definitely was a character, a guy that would get himself in trouble, whether it was with women, whether it was driving motorcycles. He was loose. He was crazy when he was young. And I think he did turn around. I think, you know, his post-career right now, he has a great podcast. I don't know if you ever listened to it. It's a good podcast. It seems like he's definitely turned it around once he started having a family, having kids. He realized, I should probably clean up my public image. And I think he did turn around. Now, I don't think that's going to hinder any ability of getting in the Hall of Fame. Look at guys like Ray Lewis, potentially murdered someone, probably murdered someone, let's be honest. He's in the Hall of Fame.
In your opinion, say
allegedly,
that.
Allegedly.
Exactly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, you gotta always protect yourself.
Allegedly, O.J. Simpson murdered someone. Allegedly.
I think
he's in the Hall of Fame.
The court did rule that. But your point, caller, is a good one of how much does that come into play. I will say this. The Baseball Hall of Fame, those voters are very, very, very finicky when it comes to if you were nice, if the players were nice to them, if they had anything, if they were jerks. Football Hall of Fame voters, it generally doesn't come down to that kind of stuff. But baseball, they held it against Eddie Murray for a long time. They held it against Steve Carlton for a long time because he was not nice to the media. But in football, that's why it'll be interesting about Antonio Brown if he gets held against him for being a gigantic idiot.
Yeah, like the MLB, like Omar Vizquel is not going to get in the Hall of Fame now because all the stuff off the field with him. And I think it doesn't matter maybe as much with the NFL because they do realize that the talent, and I think is how it should be, is the talent on the field is deserving of being in the Hall of Fame. That's just my opinion. Obviously, people might feel different about, especially if they're personally affected by something, they might feel a little bit different about someone. But like, nobody's going to keep Tyreek Hill out of the Hall of Fame because he got arrested before a game or detained before a game. So.
What do you think, Jimmy? First ballot Hall of Famer? I hung up. I was just about to ask him, first ballot Hall of Famer or not. So, all right, we'll take a break. We got some other guys we're going to mention here, too.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
It's a grand Slam.
Everyone loves a Grand Slam, and now you can score one at Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a Grand Slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Brugaroo, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
AC/DC leading us back into the show. Welcome to Sports Central. Hopefully everybody is having themselves a great day. In this discussion about Hall of Fame candidacy, we talked about Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning. We're going to discuss some more players right now, or some active players, and whether me and Corey think they're going to make the Hall of Fame. So let's start off with the Steelers' current backup, Mr. Unlimited, Russell Wilson. Corey, is he going to get in the Hall of Fame one day?
No.
You don't think so?
I do not think so. I think that he has been a really good player.
All very good.
If they would have gotten that second Super Bowl, but he threw an interception, and it's not his fault that they ran, they threw the ball there because Marshawn Lynch scores and that game's over. But I just don't see it. I think he's on the out.
I think he's on the out for a while. I think he will get in way down the line.
Here's the issue, though. I mean, there's only going to be more and more and more and
more
quarterbacks.
You're right.
So if you're, you know, it's like this is the issue. I'll go ahead and throw out the name that you were going to mention of Torrey Holt. Go ahead. Give me your case for Torrey Holt.
So Torrey Holt, let me pull up the stats real quick. So 920 receptions. He was a 7-time Pro Bowl, I believe. Super Bowl champion, of course, with the Rams in 2000 or 99. I guess they won in 2099 season. 13,000 yards, over 13,000, 74 touchdowns. In my opinion, that's a Hall of Fame receiver right there.
There are a lot of people who think Torrey Holt should be in, but it's been 15 years, and that's why I wanted to jump right to him, because when you haven't made it that long, that tells me you're probably not going to get in. So you mentioned Russell Wilson. You know, there are going to be a whole bunch of quarterbacks from the 2005 era and on. They're going to have a ton of yards. Ben had 65,000 yards. Eli had 57,000 yards. Let me Google real quick how many Russell Wilson's got. So
probably around 40,000.
Yeah, so that's not real close. But the Torrey Holt thing, there are a lot of people who believe Torrey Holt should be in the Hall of Fame. I think he was one of the handful of best receivers, and he played on the greatest show on turf with the Rams. I would say put him in. Yeah, Russell Wilson's only at 43,000 yards. I just can't see that.
Yeah. All right, so here's actually what I'm going to do. So I'm going to give you the guy's stats before I give you the name. We'll see if you think he should get in. So,
and see, again, that's why I said earlier that being a baseball guy, I'm I'm encumbered by stats, I think, and wrongly so from a football standpoint.
Yes. So this guy right here, it's an active player, 125.5 sacks, 8-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, 2-time Super Bowl champion.
Yep, absolutely.
Von Miller's that guy right there. No Von Miller, in my opinion, is a Hall of Famer.
125 sacks, 3-time first-team All-Pro?
I believe it said that, yes, 3-time.
Yeah, I mean, that's definite.
All right, so still currently playing right here, 6-time Pro Bowler. A little over 10,000 yards with 59 touchdowns.
Trying to think who that might be. See, 10,000 yards used to be an automatic, but I don't know that that's going to be the case anymore. So based on that, we got any all pros here? Because the Pro Bowl thing to me, I mean, my God, who doesn't make the Pro Bowl anymore?
Yeah, Keenan Allen.
I would say
he's a Hall of Very good player.
If he gets to like 13,000 yards, I mean, there are standards. You know,
yeah. 10,000. Torrey Holt's at 13,000 yards. He's not
that's a receiver. I'm talking about a running back, though. Was that a running back?
Keenan Allen's a receiver.
Oh, okay, I thought you were talking about a running back.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, let me rethink. That's a very different thing. Because I thought you were talking about 10,000 yards as a running back.
Oh, yeah, I should have specified.
10,000 yards as a running back, I don't think, gets you in it. 13,000. Okay, now that's... See, now I got to look up more stats because I can't base it just on that. Like, what?
To be fair, I don't think Keenan Allen's a Hall of Famer. I think he's a very good player, but he's gonna be a guy that probably doesn't get in.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a guy that I think of right off the top of my head. He's never led he does have 500 yard receiving seasons. That's pretty darn good. And he is. Let's see, how old?
34, 35, probably.
If he has a couple more years, I can make a case.
All right. Here we go. This guy right here. So he's a losing percentage quarterback.
No.
Over 56,000 yards.
No. I don't care who it is. You
don't think Matthew Stafford's a Hall of Famer?
No, you have a losing record. You're not going to the Hall of Fame.
Okay. I think that's interesting. I would say Matthew Stafford's going to make the Hall of Fame.
That's a stat. My buddy, okay. My buddy Rob, who is listening right now, he was texting me the other day during the Black Belt breakdown. You know Andy Dalton is like in the top 30 in NFL history in like touchdowns and yards?
Yes.
That's not a Hall of Famer.
Not a Hall of Famer.
But, I mean, so Matthew Stafford to me is just basically a stats guy. I know when he was with the Lions, they were horrible. But, I mean, that's a stats compiler guy. He's 56,000, no Super Bowls. Nah, I don't see that.
Agree.
You said no?
Oh, no, I think he's going to get in. I think his stats right now aren't good enough to get in. I think he's going to have a few more years. I think he'll squeak in. I think just because he played in Detroit, voters are going to give him a little bit of a...
I don't think they will.
You don't think so?
I'm just curious. Like, I know we got a bunch of guys to run through here, but not everybody can get in. I mean, Matthew Stafford was never made the playoffs his first like 12 years in the league because the Lions never made it. And then when he took over for the Rams, people were happy Jared Goff leaves, and Jared Goff ends up being better than him.
Yeah. All right, so this next guy, he's probably got 3 or 4 years left as a wide receiver, almost 12,000 yards, 96 touchdowns. He's a 5-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champ. You think he'll get in now?
Read those numbers again one more time.
Almost 12,000 yards, 96 touchdowns, 5-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champ. He's probably got 3 or 4 years left in him of really good ball play, in my opinion.
Trying to think of, I think that's a Hall of Famer. I'm trying to think of who it is.
Go plays ahead. In Tampa.
Who?
Mike Evans.
Oh, yeah. That's a Hall of Fame career.
This is an interesting one.
And because he's got, again, some of this stuff comes down to some Super Bowls as well. Mm-hmm. And if you win a Super Bowl, how many did he have a good game in the Super Bowl when the Bucks won a couple years ago?
I honestly don't know. Let me see if I can pull
it
up.
I was paying attention to Chris Godwin a good bit in that game.
Playoffs right here. It's not going to be the individual breakdown of the game, so... Can't see.
I would say those numbers, those numbers. Yes.
Okay. Almost 930 receptions right here. Over 12,000 yards, 78 touchdowns. This is a receiver, 5-time Pro Bowler and 3-time All Pro.
This is a receiver, not a tight end.
Correct.
Okay, then yes.
That is DeAndre Hopkins.
Now he's got to catch another 200 passes. How old is he?
He's not. I think this might be the last run for him. To be honest, he's probably what 34.
Okay, so again, this is where numbers come into play, and I want to jump to Hines Ward right now.
Okay.
Hines Ward had 1,000 catches and won a Super Bowl and helped revolutionize the NFL because he's one of the best blocking receivers played. Not only is he not in, I don't know that he's getting in. I think he should. So unless, again, these receiver numbers, 1,000 is not going to cut it. especially in the era of passing. Okay, so if you can give me Hines Ward, who's going to block on every play, or DeAndre Hopkins, I want a football player. And to me, Hines Ward is one of the best football players as a wide receiver that we've ever seen. Now, Randy Moss was a better receiver. Jerry Rice, a better receiver. T.O.'s a better receiver. Yeah. Antonio Brown's a better receiver. But none of them, I don't really think, did everything else that a football player could do that you want that Hines Ward did. So I don't see Hopkins in that kind of realm unless you're getting to like 1,200 catches.
Hines Ward, to me, is such an interesting conversation. Even as a Steelers fan, I don't think he belongs in the Hall of
Fame. Even after everything I just said, he will line up and he will bust your ass 15 yards down the field, and he will help you get first downs and move the chains. Do we just need...
We don't need stats.
This is where the Antonio Brown thing comes into play. Do we just need a guy catching balls and bitching and taking plays off? Or do we need a guy that maybe he doesn't have as many catches, but he does everything else that your team needs?
You need a mixture of both. And Hines Ward was that, but to me, Hines Ward never felt overly dominant where he was going to go
out. And I don't think Hines is getting in.
And to be fair, I didn't watch, I only saw the tail end of Hines Ward's career live, so maybe back in 2000.
He led the league in a category, never. In any category.
That's why.
I'm looking at his stats. Not even like yards per game or touchdowns per not a single time. That's where I'll go to bat for Hines Ward again, because I'll compare to the Antonio Brown. And if you didn't watch Hines, I can get that. He did everything that you want a football player
absolutely,
to do.
Absolutely, yes.
100%. And that's where I've always gone. But again, I don't. It's been 13 years from Heath. I just don't believe he's getting in because, and this goes against the DeAndre Hopkins, as time goes on, there's probably going to be standards of 11, 12, 1,300 catches to get in. If Hines Ward can't get in with 1,000, I don't know that DeAndre Hopkins is getting in with 930 or Torrey Holt's getting in with 920.
The only counter I have to that is I just felt like DeAndre Hopkins was dominant as a receiver, where he would take over games, mm-hmm. and especially in Houston that first year in Arizona, he was the premier receiver in the league. Like, he was the guy you looked at and you said, that's the number one receiver in the league probably right now. I mean, especially in Houston, he would win games for them for such a
terrible team, he didn't have
a quarterback throwing mm-hmm. him told Massage Watson. I mean, it was it's a tough decision. To me, Hines Ward just is so borderline that I don't think he'll get in over time if he hasn't gotten in yet. So
yeah, I don't think Hines Ward gets in. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins gets in. He had 400-yard receiver catches, 100 catch seasons. He led the league in touchdowns one time with 13 on his resume. Really, very good player. But unless he gets 200 or 300 more catches, I just have a hard time seeing.
Yeah, if DeAndre Hopkins was to play another 2 years, I think he'll get in. But I don't think he's going to play at a high enough level for the next 2 years.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Who's next?
We got ourselves. We'll just rattle off some names right here off the top of your head. Reggie Wayne, does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
No.
No? Okay. We mentioned Torrey Holt already. You mentioned Hines Ward. Steve Smith Sr.
Yes.
Okay. Randall Cunningham, first really dynamic running quarterback.
Are you telling me he's not in the Hall of Fame?
Not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, he's not getting in, but that's some bull crap.
It is. I'm double-checking that. I don't think Randall Cunningham's in the Hall of Fame. He's not.
Kind of shocked by that. But, you know, without looking up the stats, Reggie Wayne has 1,070
catches. Randall Cunningham
catches.
Doesn't even have 30,000 passing yards.
Yeah, and so and Randall Cunningham, this is way too young a reference for you, but the Cincinnati Reds had a player in the late 80s, early 90s named Eric Davis.
Eric Davis, yeah.
Okay. Eric Davis was the sexiest looking baseball player you'd ever seen.
Held the bat out like.
Yeah. But so he was the ultimate eye test guy. And Randall Cunningham was the ultimate eye test guy. But if you look at Eric Davis's career, he's not a Hall of Famer, nothing even close. He got hurt, yeah. Didn't last long enough. And so thinking back about Randall Cunningham,
same
very sexy guy. He had if you've ever seen the video, he had like a 92-yard punt one time.
Yes,
which
I
is
did.
Amazing.
Yes, but
stats, if he's not in by now, he's not getting in one. But stats-wise, it doesn't surprise me because he only completed 56% of his passes, 207 touchdowns, 134 interceptions. Yeah, he's not getting in, but man, he really looked good.
Yeah,
when you're watching
him. He was really, really good.
Have you been able to see some footage of Eric Davis?
Eric Davis? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
He was a speedster, center fielder.
40-40 guy.
Yeah, he was good. I'll give you two or three more names real quick. Marshawn Lynch. See, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Beast mode.
Yeah? Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Luke Kuechly.
Oh, man. That's
yes,
a good one.
100%.
I would say yes, because he was just a tackling machine. Tackling machine.
Yes, 100%. And then we'll say Terrell Suggs. That'll be the last one we do.
Yeah, I would say yes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Dominating defensive guy. The Torrey Holt one is fascinating to me because, again, he's that guy. He's an Andrew McCutchen kind of guy. Better than Andrew. Andrew McCutchen's not getting the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. It's not even close.
No, he will never get in the Hall of Fame.
It's not even a discussion. Nope. But people talk about Andrew McCutchen because he's been really good and he was popular for a long time. Torrey Holt was really good, and you were real young, but the L.A. Rams, the Kurt Warner, they revolutionized football. You
the
know?
Air raid.
Yeah, it was incredible to see what all they did. Mm-hmm. And Torrey Holt was right in the middle of it. So I would say put him in because he was sexy. But again, at the end of the day, the numbers, you know, that's
well, his numbers are good.
They're good.
They're good numbers.
They're good, but you know, it took Art Monk. Art Monk was the leading receiver in NFL history for a long time.
What are you, about 15,000?
Yeah, and it took him a long, long time before he got in. He wasn't let's see if I can find. But it took him a long, long time. He had 12,721 yards, 940 catches, and he didn't get into the Hall of Fame until 2008 when he finished up in like 95.
Oh, geez.
So he didn't get in for
late.
13. The NFL's career yardage leader at the time didn't get in for 13 years. That's how they've kind of they devalued yeah. receivers for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I'll give you one last note real quick, then we'll hit a break so we can do some predictions. In my opinion, if a guy like Drew Pearson gets in a couple years ago, I didn't think Drew Pearson. He's
I didn't
a good
think
player.
So either, yeah.
He should not be Hall. He got in because the 88 with Cowboys.
Yep. And sexy and all
yep.
that stuff.
Yeah, so.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think he did. All right, yeah. Very good.
This weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway is the last race in the first round of the 2024 playoffs, which means four drivers will be eliminated at the checkered flag on Saturday night. On the outside looking in are Denny Hamlin, 6 points out, Brad Keselowski, 12, Martin Truex Jr., 14, and Harrison Burton is 20 points back. Chase Briscoe and Ty Gibbs aren't exactly sitting pretty either, as they are 6 points to the good inside the top 12. The rest of the field have not found victory lane at Thunder Valley. Alex Bowman and Martin Truex Jr. each have three top fives among the drivers without wins at the track. For the Xfinity Series, Bristol marks the last race of the regular season for them, with their playoffs kicking off at Kansas the following week in the round of 12. Their playoff grid is already locked in with Ryan Sieg in 13th, 43 points back of the top 12 heading into this weekend. 2311 Racing inked Bubba Wallace to a multi-year contract extension with the team, saying, quote, "From day one, Bubba has been an integral part of 2311. We're excited to announce that he has signed a multi-year renewal and will continue to play a key role in helping 2311 grow and succeed," end quote. The team is owned by NBA legend Michael Jordan and Cup Series superstar Denny Hamlin, but have yet to sign a charter agreement with NASCAR for next year and beyond, so it's unclear how that factors into this deal with Bubba, who has two wins in the Cup Series so far. You are on the final lap.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Wake up. Breakfast. And Nature Made vitamins. Whatever your morning sounds like, Nature Made fits right in. Whether you're looking for vitamin C or a multivitamin to get key nutrients, we've got you covered. Now that's a good morning. We take care of you so you can take on your day. Start your day with Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacificos.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central. We got predictions.
Let's do predictions.
But before we do predictions, Corey, you know what you need whenever you're predicting a game?
I don't know. What do I need?
It's a J.M. Boswell's pipe or cigar. You can find that.
One.
You always need one. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA, 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com.
We love J.M. Boswell's.
Corey,
they
you
keep
know
us
what?
On the air.
They do. And there's nothing like a J.M. Boswell's pipe or cigar.
I love it. That's great.
All right, so we got predictions time. It's my favorite time of the week. We're going to predict games. We got 8 college games in the NFL slate. We'll kick it off with college football. Overall record, I'm 21-6. Corey's 19-8. He edged one game out over me last week. So we'll start with some Friday night lights. A ranked matchup for the second straight week. Illinois goes into Nebraska. Who wins this game?
Nebraska. I agree. I think that guy's just a terrific coach.
Matt Rhule, yep. Dylan Raiola is the real deal, it seems like. There's a good chance Nebraska, they might sneak in the back.
Oh, you're
playoffs.
Going first on these, by the way.
I'll go first.
All
I'll go
right,
first.
Yeah,
but we both had Nebraska.
We're
going to
agree on it.
We got Kansas and West Virginia. West Virginia is 2.5 points at home, a favorite. I like Kansas here. I just think West Virginia doesn't have enough going for them right now. I'd probably lean toward Kansas.
You're taking Kansas.
Actually, no, I'm flipping. Give him West Virginia.
Okay.
Just because of home.
I was going to take West Virginia because they're not playing real. I think they're better than what they're playing.
But absolutely.
100%. So we're both on West Virginia.
Yes. Another ranked matchup right here. Big Ten. USC goes to Michigan. Michigan's 5.5 point dogs at home. I like USC here. I just think that Michigan, but they're a physical team. I like USC. I'm not going to overthink it. Give me USC.
I'm going to take Michigan. I think that the physicality, and I mean, Michigan's back so against the wall now a little bit.
Okay. And they are starting a new quarterback this week, so maybe they're able to.
Yeah.
Alex Orji going in there. Maybe he can run the ball to perfection, get a win over USC.
I mean, this is a good barometer game to see how physical USC is or is not.
Yes.
Michigan's not a great football team, but can they stack up 100%. Physically?
We got 12 Utah going to 14 Oklahoma State, excuse me. Oklahoma State's 2.5 point favorites. Give me Utah because I think Cam Rising is going to play healthy. So.
You love Utah.
I do. The problem is Cam Ward's just
Cam Rising.
I keep saying Cam Ward. Cam Ward's Miami. Cam Rising is Utah. I think he's going to stay healthy this game. I think they're able to squeak it out.
All right, I'm going to go Utah also.
All right. 6 Tennessee. This is the game of the week. 6 Tennessee goes to 15 Oklahoma. Oklahoma is 7-point dogs at home. This Nico kid for Tennessee, I don't know if you see him. He looks incredible. I can't pick against Tennessee right now.
I'm taking Tennessee. I think they would be fourth or fifth for me outside of that Georgia, Ohio State, Texas thing. Tennessee's in that next level there.
Yes, 100%. Michigan State going to Boston College. Boston College, 6.5 point favorites. I like Boston College here. They should have maybe beat Missouri last week. Tough game. I'll give them the Boston College here.
They're a bunch of fighters.
They are a bunch of fighters. You on BC?
I'm going BC.
All right. Baylor goes to Colorado. Colorado 2-point favorites. I think Colorado may have found a little bit of a stride last week. I like Colorado win this game. I don't think they're anything incredible yet, but I think they got a little momentum here, and they could probably beat Baylor at home.
Give me 1 second here, because I got to know if Baylor is any friggin' good at all.
They might be 2-1.
Is that Dave Aranda still there? They only lost to you. I'm going Baylor.
All right, we're
going
to differentiate there. Then
I think he's coaching for his job out there.
Yeah, final game of the week right here. Kansas State goes to BYU. Kansas State number 13 in the nation. BYU 6.5 point dogs at home. I like Kansas State here. I picked against them last week. Avery Johnson just proved me wrong. He looks very good. I like them.
Yeah, that was a good win. They played great against Arizona. I'll go Kansas State as well. All right. BYU, it's tough to go out there and win.
It is.
They're proud. They play well at home. But yep. So we only differed on two there, right?
Yes, two different.
Baylor,
Colorado, USC, Michigan.
All right.
So we'll see how it turns out. Going to the NFL slate, we got about 4 minutes here. We got enough time. Tonight's game, New England Patriots going to New York Jets. Jets are 6-point favorites. Aaron Rodgers seems to have found a little bit of footing in that second half against Tennessee last week. I think the Jets win this game big. I'm thinking like 17 to 21 points.
J-E-T-S.
Both rolling with the Jets. All right. Well, it's New England screwed you last week. You've been picking them. You picked them last week over, who they play? Seahawks at home.
Yeah, so. It went overtime, though.
It was overtime. And I think that might, short week two, overtime, it might wear a little bit. Giants to Cleveland. Cleveland's 6.5-point favorites. I think the Giants play in a tight game, actually. I think they're able to. But I like Cleveland here.
Really? I can see Cleveland just crying. I think the Giants are terrible.
Cleveland looked pretty bad last week.
Yeah, but you know how the league goes. Yeah, I'll go Browns.
All right. We got Green Bay going to Tennessee. Malik Willis, revenge game. Tennessee, 2-point favorites. I think Tennessee's got to win this game. Will Levis has to. He's made crazy, crazy mistakes. I think I got to go Tennessee here.
Jordan Love is out, right?
Jordan Love is expected to be out.
Yeah, then I'll go Tennessee as well. Right. You said Tennessee?
Yeah, Tennessee.
Yeah, I can't pick a backup quarterback on the road.
Chicago goes to Indianapolis. Indianapolis, 1.5-point favorite at home. I like Indy here. I think Chicago needs to find a little bit more of a footing. I think this is a game Anthony Richardson's get-right game after a pretty bad week last week in Lambeau. So I like Indianapolis here.
I'll go Indianapolis, and if Caleb Williams struggles again, there's going to be a lot of heat. The heat is going to start to pile up.
Maybe Badgett comes in and replaces him already.
I don't know about replacing, but this whole
thing. You can't pull him yet.
No, you're not going to get pulled, but anointed this, great this. I mean, he's got
to
prove it.
He does have to prove it. Houston going to Minnesota. Minnesota 2-point dogs at home. Played very well last week against the 49ers. I like Houston, though, to win this game. I think Minnesota maybe got a little bit lucky with a few plays here or there.
I will take the Vikings.
Okay, first time we're going to differentiate right there. Philadelphia going to New Orleans, running to a buzzsaw right there.
Man.
New Orleans 2.5-point favorites. I like Philadelphia big here. I do.
I like New Orleans big here. Okay. I would put all my money. You said New Orleans is only 2.5-point favorite at home?
New Orleans?
After spanking the Cowboys 44-19 on the road? That's massive disrespect.
Philadelphia is mad. Nick Sirianni, he's got some dogs. I like Philly here. We'll say that's for last, Chargers in Pittsburgh. Denver going to Tampa. Tampa's 6.5-point favorites at home. Give me Tampa here.
I can't pick Denver ever again with that offense.
Yeah,
it's Tampa.
100%. Carolina going to Vegas. I'm picking Vegas here. Vegas. I mean, Andy Dalton is rolling, so.
Andy Dalton, I'll go Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas 100%. Miami going to Seattle. I like Seattle here. I don't know what Miami's quarterback situation is going to be for the next 4 weeks. So I like Seattle.
Seattle?
All right. Baltimore going to Dallas. This should be a good game. Dallas, a 1-point underdog at home.
Wow.
I like Dallas here. I do. I think they got embarrassed last week at home. It's going to be the primetime game. I think Dallas finds a way to win this game. I think Lamar just, I don't know what's going on with him this year.
There is no way the Ravens go 0-3. Okay. And you've heard me say 10 times I'm always going to go with the home team. There is no way John Harbaugh goes 0-3 with one of the best teams in the AFC.
I agree with you, but this is a tough
stretch.
I know.
That's tough. I'm going to go Ravens.
All right. San Fran going to L.A. with the Rams. 7-point underdogs the Rams are. They're just beat up. They got no receivers, no offensive line. This is San Fran easy win.
Niners, yep.
Detroit going to Arizona.
Arizona look good.
Arizona look good, but again, they played a Rams team that's very depleted. Yeah. So I'm going to go Detroit here slightly.
Oh, man.
Dan Campbell cost him the game last week.
I'm going to go Detroit.
Okay.
I'm down in this contest. If I were up, I'd roll the dice and take the Cardinals.
Yes. All right, so let's roll through his last four quickly. Chiefs, Falcons.
Chiefs.
Agree. Jacksonville, Buffalo. I guess I'm supposed to be picking first. What am I doing?
Bills. They're 0-2 also, the Jags.
Give me the Jags.
You're going Jags? I can take Bills, all right?
All right. Commanders and Cincinnati.
There's no way they're going 0-3 either, so yeah. Bengals.
All right, and then final game, I teased it, I guess. Chargers and Pittsburgh, 1.5-point favorites. I like Pittsburgh here. I'm rolling
the Chargers, so okay. We're disagreeing on a bunch of these this week. This will be fun,
I cannot wait.
All right.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe. You fly.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Shoe Fly. Your feet will thank you.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Auto Mart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Auto Mart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Auto Mart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all of that. We find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
All right, wrapping things up here. I do want to send best wishes and just all the thoughts and prayers out to Hollidaysburg student athlete Spencer Davis. Many of you are probably aware Spencer had a medical situation in practice yesterday. Here's what I can read to you from a member of the Hollidaysburg school boards. Yesterday, a sophomore player, Spencer Davis, was hurt at practice. He is currently in Children's Hospital, Pittsburgh. The extent of his injuries and recovery are unknown yet. He is stable and undergoing lots of testing. His family is with him. Scary stuff, man. Best luck to Spencer and his family. Nathan, that's scary when you see that with a high school kid or anybody.
You never want to say you hear the horror stories all the time. So just send best wishes out there. Praying for him. So hopefully everything can go well. Speedy recovery.
Yeah, good luck, Spencer. That's going to wrap things up. Good stuff on our picks there today, man.
Yeah, definitely. We'll see on Monday, or I guess Tuesday, how we did. So.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona.